morning our scripture text is taken from the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 12 through 17. It's on page number 1846 in your pew Bibles, and you also have a bulletin insert with some sermon notes, fill in the blanks to follow along as we go along. So you're welcome to pull that out and track where we are so you can think about that later on in the day. But we are looking at 1 Timothy. As Paul writes to his young protege, as he writes to this young man who he has mentored along the way. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Hear the word of the Lord. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he has considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I once was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord has poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example of those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So we focus on patience today. It takes patience to be a parent. It takes patience to be a kid, actually. I ran across this story on the internet, and of course, if it's on the internet, it must be true. So, talks about patience now. There was a pretty lonely guy who decided life would be more fun if he had a pet. This will be a good illustration for our pet ministry people. But life would be much more palatable and fun if he had a pet. So he went to a pet store and told the owner of the pet store that he wanted to buy an unusual pet. After some discussion, he decided on a centipede, which came in a little white box to use for its house. He took the centipede home, found a good location for the box, and then decided he would start off by taking his new pet to a restaurant for a dinner. Remember, this is in the internet, so it has to be true. So he asked the centipede in the box, "Would you like to go to Wendy's with me to have dinner?" But there was no answer from his new pet. This bothered him a bit, but he waited a few minutes and then asked him again, "How about going to Wendy's with me?" But again, there was no answer from his new friend and pet. So we waited a few minutes more, thinking about the situation. He decided to ask him one more time, patiently, this time putting his face up against the centipede's white house and shouting, "Hey in there! Would you like to go to Wendy's with me to have dinner?" A little voice out of the box came from the centipede. "I heard you the first time. I'm putting on my shoes." That may sound a little too familiar to some of us. Ah, the testing of our patience. You know, by the way, for when it comes to pet blessings, right? I do reptiles and birds and feathers and fur, but I draw the line at bugs, okay? Just remember that next year. Okay, the testing of your patience. There are few virtues. We need more, yet few virtues harder to come by than patience. You've heard the expression, patience is a virtue. I did a little research online this week and found out that comes from a poem that the roots of go all the way back to the 5th century as our early church fathers were seeking to expand and expound on 7 heavenly virtues. You've heard of 7 deadly sins. In contrast to that, which 7 were identified, 7 heavenly virtues. And this expression, patience in a virtue, as a virtue, came down at least to the 14th century, 1360, when English poet William Langbird wrote, you know how it goes, patience is a virtue, possess it if you can, it's seldom found in women, never in a man. You've heard that. I don't know if that's true. But I'm sure that you've said at one time, you're driving me crazy, or you're on my last nerve, especially if you're a parent. Patience, I have a patience test for you as we begin the sermon this morning. A patience assessment inventory, if you will. Test to see if you are patient or impatient. And this inventory says, you are too impatient if you ever left a restaurant because a server took too long to take your order. You're too impatient if when reading a bedtime story to your child, you've skipped a page or two to expedite the process. Guilty. You're too impatient if you have put your makeup or tied your necktie while you're driving to work. Okay. Maybe you've done both. Well, anyhow, you're too impatient if when you see a yellow light, traffic light, your tendency is to accelerate instead of brake. All of us have done that. We are too impatient while at a wedding reception you've wanted to reconfigure the long line at the buffet. You're too impatient if you've ever asked yourself during a sermon, how much longer is he going to talk? I know, never happens here. Okay. You're too impatient if you ever cut through a parking lot in order to miss a stoplight. I'll tell you a great place to do that. No. It's right near the police. Anyhow, you're too impatient if your children think their first names are, come on, hurry up, let's move it. Are there any of those realities in your life? We all can think of that. It's dangerous to pray for patience because you just might get it. The Lord uses struggles and challenges in our lives to bring patience. And it's also kind of dangerous to preach a mini-series on patience, because you always know, I always know that God is going to test this out. This last week, I got to pick up my sister and brother-in-law at the airport after they had been 2.5 weeks in Israel and then visiting their good friends in Turkey, who were missionaries. And at the last minute, they got the message that their flight had been diverted from Newark Airport to JFK. And so Wednesday night, now you remember, I'm a South Jersey boy, closer to Philly. I know the ins and outs and ways and means to get to Philadelphia International, but JFK. And I'm driving their SUV in the rain. It's pouring down rain Wednesday night. And it's got all these strange bells and whistles, much newer car than any of my cars. It kind of indicates it has things that go off when you're out of the driving lane or going over the line, or I'm like, what? And You know, we got to use their online dash screen GPS, but we had a hard time figuring how to configure that. So we also figured out how to tune in with a Bluetooth, my cell phone GPS, to that. But the problem was we had two of these now voices arguing with each other, turn right, no, turn left. And somewhere in the Amboys, we took a little detour as we tried to figure out which one to listen to. But we got there on time and everything worked out. I did have to apologize a number of times to my wife, who was doing the navigation, for my impatience. But, you know, you've been through that. And I hope that I survive and my wife survives this sermon series on patience. And we all do. Anyhow, I believe it's a timely topic for a sermon series with the national social climate that we live in, a climate of exasperation, of division, derision, and divisiveness. We have to be patient with each other. As always, but especially in these days. For the biblical imperative or command comes down to us, be patient. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Colossians 3, verse 12. Patience is a virtue that I'd like to consider and develop in these themes throughout these 3 weeks. What is patience? What, after all, are we talking about? Patience can be defined as a Christian virtue, a Christian character trait, a personality type, a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is the ability to accept delay and disappointment graciously. The ability to accept delay and disappointment with grace. And patience is a powerful attitude that enables one to remain steadfast under stress and keep pressing on, keep persevering. Patience is displayed, as it says here in this passage, as a divine attribute. God's patience is shown to us over and over and over again. As I read in verse 16 of 1 Timothy 1, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example of those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Unlimited patience. In another translation, it says immense patience. In the King James Version, it says perfect patience. The patience of God is immense. Boy, is that good news. In Exodus chapter 34, God speaking to Moses, identifying himself as the great I am, says, the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. This Hebrew word for long-suffering is one of the words that's most commonly translating patience in the Old Testament. Many other translations say slow to anger, as in Proverbs 16, verse 12. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who can conquer a city. That's remarkable. Patience is a virtue. Long-suffering. In fact, the Greek word in the New Testament for patience is macrothumia. Macro being great or large, and thumia for suffering. Long-suffering. Patience is forbearance with difficult people. Patience is persistence with difficult things. Patience is perseverance in difficult circumstances and trials. Why is patience so hard for us? Why is patience so hard for us? One reason is that patience is contrary to our human nature. It doesn't come naturally, especially our fallen human nature. It goes against the grain. It's not something intrinsic or instinctively natural in us. Something we have to learn, patience. We don't have to learn impatience. Amen? You know, we have to learn to be patient. You can look at kids and see great examples of that. Classic example is the 4-year-old in the back seat of your car saying, "Are we there yet?" on a long trip. 10 minutes later, "Are we there yet?" "No, another hour to go." "Are we there yet?" "No, half an hour to go." "Are we there yet?" "Not yet, and don't answer again." One more time. "Will I still be 4 when we get there?" Gotta love that. Patience is unnatural, goes against our fallen human nature. Patience is also countercultural. Our whole culture and society is in hurry-up mode. We struggle with patience due to the chronic hurry of our society and our world. Remember the Eagles sang "Life in the Fast Lane"? Some of you aren't old enough to remember that song, but anyhow, "Life in the Fast Lane, I'm about to lose my mind." We're so used to going so fast. We can't stand delays. We lose our mind if we get held up or things slow up. Author Virginia Brazier says, "This is the age of the half-read page, the quick cash, and the mad dash. The bright night with the nerves tight, the plane hop with a brief stop. The lamp tan, short span, the big shot and the good spot, the brain strain and the heart pain, and the cat naps till the spring snaps and the fun's done." There you go. Everything in our culture is fast. We hate delay. I heard of a furniture store that carried a sign on its window saying, "Antiques while you wait." Figure that one out. One of my favorite authors, Max Lucado, says, "America, the country of shortcuts and fast lanes. We're the only nation on earth with a mountain called Rushmore." Think about that. Remember, our rushing makes us impatient. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:31, "Don't run after things in this world like the pagans do." Boy, do we run. Well, patience is countercultural. Technology and patience sometimes work against each other. Technology, you would think, would help us to get things done faster. Our computerized gadgets cut time down so we can speed life up. But sometimes even our patience with our computers and our technology throws things out the window. Instead of slowing down our lives so that we can grow more patient. One Calvin and Hobbes comic strip shows Calvin holding a microwave dinner and reading the instructions on the box. "It takes 6 minutes to microwave this," he says. "Who's got the time for that?" Whole 6 minutes. Have you ever stood in an ATM machine and thought, "Man, this machine is going so slow"? But remember when you used to have to stand in long lines at the bank to get your money? Nope, forgot that. I know plenty of families whose kids, when they're in the basement, use their cell phone to call upstairs to mom and dad because it's a lot faster and easier than walking up the steps. And the parents learn from the kids about technology. Think about this. "Blessed is a wise man who learns to be patient," Proverbs 19:11. But our patience has taught us to be more impatient. As we think about it, it's hard to be patient. How do we get patience? How do we become more patient? How do we cultivate this fruit of the Spirit in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives? The first way that I'd recommend to cultivate patience, to get patience in you, is to pray. Not a prayer, "Lord, I want more patience and I want it now," but pray. And yeah, I know, got to be careful what you pray for, because God's way of getting it for you may be not what you're looking for. But pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for peace. Pray for patience. Pray. And endure trials that work patience in your life. James chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 says, "Consider it all joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of diverse and various kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And in Romans chapter 5 verse 2 and following, Paul writes, "We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance," patience, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Patience is often grown in the fertile soil of our struggles in real life. Pray, endure trials as God's work in your life, and abide in Christ. Dwell in Him, as Jesus said in John chapter 15, "I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me will bear much fruit." Much fruit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, so forth. So it is in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit. Stay connected to the Lord through His present Holy Spirit. In prayer and in His Word, let patience grow, even if your personality doesn't lend itself towards patience. Another way to grow patience is don't sweat the small stuff. You've heard that before. That's a good thing to tell yourself often. Don't sweat the small stuff. Learn to discern the big stuff from the little stuff, the small stuff. Don't worry about things you can't change. Grow to overlook and get past the little frustrations of life and society and marriage. How many marriages have been shipwrecked on little things like toothpaste cap left off? I better not go too far into that, because I don't want to stir up trouble, right? Don't sweat the small stuff. And slow down. Has it struck you strange that the company that advertises "you deserve a break today" is a fast food company? Come on in. Let's see how fast you can take a break today and get out on the road again. Poise and peace in God's presence enables patience in our lives as we rest in His presence. Remember the Sabbath day, a day of rest and recreation. Our bodies need it, our souls need it, our minds need it. All of us needs to rest in God's presence. Sit and reflect on His Word. Meditate on His powerful promises. Take a walk in the woods when it's not too cold. Take time to smell the coffee, whatever's out there, to smell the snow or whatever. Read a book. Watch the children play. Be still and know that I am God, says the Lord. Develop patience. God is working within you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Patience will make us better husbands, wives. Patience will make us better parents and grandparents. Patience will make us better friends. Patience will make us a better church. Patience will make us better Christians, more Christ-like. And patience will help to grow your faith. The bottom line is patience is based on the calm assurance that God's got this, that God is in control, so we can be still and know that He is God. Be still, my soul. Let's join in singing that. It's on page number 534, and we'll sing that as a prayer response as well as a hymn. 534 in the red hymnal, Be Still, My Soul. Let's stand as we sing in response to God's Word.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief and pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Through thorny ways to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, your God will undertake to guide the future as in ages past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious will be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know. The Christ who ruled them while He dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on. When we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear gone, sorrow for God, love's purest joys restore. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed, we shall meet at last.
This week, practice patience with one another, patience with your pastor, and patience with those that you meet throughout the week. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.